This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. And Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And just then a Canaanite woman from the region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and she knelt down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, and that even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The gospel of the Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we pray that we would hear not just the words of men, but the words of God. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I want to take that as my text this morning from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, beginning at verse 21. If you're making use of the Pew Bible, you can find that text on page 976. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, and beginning at verse 21. This morning, I want to talk about faith that won't take no for an answer. Faith that won't take no for an answer. In fact, this woman in our text reminds me of something I heard years ago. It was put in the form of a question: how can you stop a man who won't quit? How do you stop someone who refuses to give up, who won't quit, who refuses to stop believing? Which reminds me of Job and what he said in the 13th chapter of Job in verse 15. He said, "Though God slay me, yet will I trust in him." And this woman in our text is that kind of person, a woman of faith, a woman who won't take no for an answer. Indeed, Matthew says in our text, verse 21, "And Jesus went away from there," that is from northern Galilee, as the context says, where he had been ministering, "and he withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon." It is on the sea coast, on the Mediterranean. In fact, Tyre and Sidon are still there in what is now present-day Lebanon. And that Jesus withdrew means that he intended to take some time off and some time away from his ongoing, grueling schedule of ministry at morning, noon, and night. And so Jesus, verse 21, went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And Matthew continues in verse 22, and behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Matthew describes this woman as a Canaanite. This is where the Canaanites lived, the ancient Canaanites in the Promised Land before Israel came in. And this is north of the Promised Land. And Mark calls her a Greek Syrophoenician, which would have been, in Mark's time, a little bit of a more contemporary reference rather than an ancient one. But the point is that she's a Gentile. She is a non-Jew. And so Matthew says, verse 22, "Behold, a Canaanite woman from the region." That's where she was from. Jesus had entered into her, where she lives. A woman from that region came out crying and saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord. Son of David, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." And so this woman, she heard that Yeshua, Jesus, was in the neighborhood. She herself is not Jewish, and yet she had heard, as many had, outside of the borders of Israel, all that Jesus was doing in Israel. And she believed him to be the promised Messiah of the Hebrews. Indeed, he was certainly doing all the things that everybody knew the Messiah would do when he came. And so she sought out Jesus, and she found him. And she began crying out desperately for help. As Matthew says, and the Canaanite woman from the region came and was crying out, have mercy on me, have pity on me, O Lord, thou Son of David, one of the primary titles of Messiah. And notice that her daughter wasn't just oppressed by a demon, but as she describes it, severely oppressed. Indeed, the situation is desperate. And this woman, a mother, was desperate. And Matthew said Jesus did not answer her word, which might strike us as odd. Jesus ignored her. Verse 23, and the disciples came and begged him. For goodness sake, send her away. She's crying after us. And in light of what Jesus says in the next verse, verse 24, the implication is that the disciples were saying, give her what she wants and send her away. Or as Peterson, who understands this in the Message, put it this way, would you please take care of her? She's driving us crazy. And so verse 23, the disciples begged Jesus, saying, send her away. She's crying out after us. And verse 24, and Jesus answered, no, for I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now the woman apparently is still nearby. Verse 25, and so the woman came and knelt down before Jesus, and the Greek, it literally says that she coming worshiped him. Verse 25, and the woman came and knelt down. She worshiped Jesus, saying, Lord, help me. And in verse 26, perhaps one of the most misunderstood verses in all of the New Testament, Jesus answered and said, it is not right to take the children's bread and to throw it to the dogs. In the Greek, the dog reference is to the kind of dog that people, whether you were a Gentile or a Jew, would have in your house. Maybe you have a dog in your house. And given the woman's reply, she understands exactly what I have often thought, although I've never read this, I have wondered if this wasn't a common proverbial saying. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. The woman knows what Jesus is talking about. And while we wouldn't, of course, use an expression like this today, the point was not to express contempt for the woman because she was a Gentile. I'm a Gentile. Does Jesus hold me in contempt? He who died for me and the God who spared not his own son, how will he not also freely give Scott Thompson everything else and everything else to you? Of course he doesn't hold you in contempt, and Jesus didn't hold this woman in contempt. But he said what he said in order to illustrate with an example with which the woman herself would be familiar, to illustrate that Jesus was carrying out his mission according to a proper order. The Apostle Paul would make reference to this idea later in his own writings, and that famous expression, and you've all heard it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And there's nothing wrong with that per se. It's rather like saying, you know what, get your own house in order before you start focusing on other people's houses. And so as was common in both Jewish and Gentile homes, that the children were fed first and then the family dog. They both were loved. They both were fed. But the order was clear. And that's what Jesus was saying. I'll get to the Gentiles later. In fact, this same Gospel of Matthew makes a big deal of that at the end. And now all power and authority has been given unto me. And now go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to do everything that I've taught you. And lo, I'm with you always as you do this, even to the end of the age. It wasn't a matter of contempt. It was just a matter of order. But this woman, believing with all her heart that Jesus was the Messiah and that he could certainly solve her problem, reminds him of an exception to the usual order in which the children are fed first. Perhaps she had seen it in her own home. And perhaps Jesus had seen it in his. And that's when the dogs steal the crumbs that have fallen from the table, even while the children are being fed. And so Jesus says in verse 26, it's not right to take the children's bread and to throw it to the dogs. Verse 27, but she says, yes, Lord, and yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I know you're following a certain order, and I don't disagree with that, but there are exceptions. Verse 28, and then Jesus answered her and said, O woman, great is your faith. Indeed, Jesus doesn't think ill of this woman because she isn't Jewish. Jesus isn't racist, as some recent commentators have insisted. What hogwash. Indeed, and rather, Jesus is moved by her faith, not to mention her wit. And he commends her for it. And the church has been reading about her for 2,000 years. And so we read in verse 28, and then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you desire. And Matthew concludes, and her daughter was healed instantly. And so what to do? Well, I know one thing we're not meant to do. And that is to admire this woman from afar. As someone has written, there is no reward for admiring faithful people. Faithful people are meant to be imitated. And to imitate the faithful is to be faithful ourselves. Indeed, I don't want to merely admire the Canaanite woman. I want to be the Canaanite woman. Amen? Amen. Faith that won't take no for an answer. Let us pray. I find it so encouraging, Lord, to read about these types of things. This woman wasn't perfect, just like we aren't. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But she believed. And she loved. She loved her daughter. And her daughter's answer came strolling into town one day. And she wasn't just going to stay there at the house. She's going to look for him and beg him to have mercy. And even when he says, well, you know what? I've already got other things scheduled. And I'll get to you and your people later. And she wouldn't have it. She kept pressing and pressing. Indeed, Lord Jesus, wasn't it you who said, knock and it shall be open unto you. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. And that's what she did. We don't know her name. We don't know exactly what she looked like. All we know is that she was a Gentile woman from the region of Tyre and Sidon. And yet she was faithful. Help us to be like her. Not only because it's the right thing to do, even as John Stott said, that trusting God is the most sensible thing to do, because there's no one more trustworthy than God. I think that must have been what was behind the words of Job when he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I don't know what he's doing now. I don't know what he's doing now. It feels like he's slaying me. But I know who he is, and I know that he's good, and I know that he's right, and I know that he loves me. And so I can't help, and I refuse to stop trusting in him. Help us to trust you, Lord, even when the wife is sick, when the daughter is sick, when gainful employment has slipped through our fingers and we don't know what's coming next, when things aren't just as we would have them, when our heart is breaking, when fear has filled our hearts. Calm us, Lord. Say to our hearts, peace be still. And we pray it in your name. Amen.